Well, there's a story that I heard about an elderly lady. And she had been diagnosed with cancer and was given 3 months to live. And so as she began to prepare to get her things in order, she called her pastor to come to the house. And so he came, and she told him what scriptures she wanted read at her funeral, what songs she wanted sung. She wanted to be buried with her favorite Bible in her hand. And as they finished talking about these preparations for her homegoing, he got up to leave, and she said, "Wait, there's one more thing." She said, "I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." And of course, he looked at her like, "Okay." And she said, "Throughout all of my years of going to church dinners and church socials, they would come by and they would pick up the plates and they would say, 'Keep your fork.'" And she said, "When they said, 'Keep my fork,' I was expecting something good to come, be it apple pie, banana pudding, peach cobbler, chocolate cake. I was expecting something good to come." And as I thought about this when I was seeking God as to what to minister this morning, it made me think about the fact that this elderly lady was expecting to receive something. Matthew 5 and 12 tells us to rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And she was looking towards her exceeding reward that was waiting for her when she got over in heaven. But then I thought about the fact that the Lord said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So we can expect that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And we as believers should live in a realm of expecting to receive. I want to say that again because I want it to soak in. We should live in a realm of expecting to receive. Let's look at Acts 3. Starting with verse 1. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." Again, I want to take for a moment to impress. We should live expecting to receive. Now, a lot of times when we read this scripture, oh, we all want to be Peter. We all want to be John because we all want the power to be flowing through us. But the reality of it is, we're that lame beggar. So let's get our mindset to understand we are that lame beggar. So verse 1 says that Peter and John went into the temple at the hour of prayer. From Acts 2:46, it reads that the disciples were continually in the temple. They were continually praising and blessing God. And when we think about the church today, it saddens me because we are not continually in the house of God. We are not continually seeking God's face in prayer. We are not continually praising Him through the good times and the bad times. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now this beggar, he had had this condition since the day he was born. This is all that he knew. And when you think about it, his eyes didn't have a problem. His ears didn't have a problem. His hands didn't have a problem. The only problem that he had was his feet. And if we think about our lives sometime, there's parts of our lives that are having no problems at all. Ooh, I got a good job. Ooh, I got good clothes. I got a good house. But there's something else that is inside of us that is broken. Something else that needs to be fixed. And it was the same way with this lame man. All his other faculties were working fine, but his feet had an issue. And we can take a moment and think about our lives and think, what is it in my life that has an issue? What is it in my life that I need God to come in and heal? Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask of alms. Now, there's nowhere in the scripture that says he knew who Peter and John was. He was laid there daily to do the same thing, day in and day out, over and over and over again. And that was to ask alms. He needed money. And so he would beg to try and get money. And you know, okay, let's be honest with ourselves. Because sometimes we're walking down the street and somebody will come and ask of alms of us. Okay, we don't call it alms anymore, but you know what I'm talking about. They need some help. Sometimes we help if we feel led of God. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes people get passed up and talked about. So I can just imagine the ridicule and the degrading that this man had had his entire life as he sat out there begging for money. But yet and still, as Peter and John were coming by, he was like, okay, one more time. Y'all got some money. Can you help me out here? And so he looked to them as he had done so time and time and time again since he had been set at that gate. Now, he was asking for money because that's what he thought he needed. How many times do we go to God asking for what we think we need? Now, true enough, he did need money because he needed to eat and possibly to pay his rent. But more so, he needed a healing. We ask God for all kind of stuff. And notice how I said we, because I'm not trying to put it off on anybody else. I know sometimes I ask him for stuff that I really don't need, probably don't want, just lusting after, because I seen it and it's like, oh, God, yes, I want this. Not realizing that what I need is something that's going to take me into eternity. What I need is going to help me get over into Beulah land, as the old saints used to say. Because what we have down here is temporal. What we own down here, we are not going to be able to take it with us. You know, even though when we're laid out in that really nice coffin, and you know how it is if you've ever had to deal with planning a funeral. I tell you, those folks, they take advantage of you. Or let me put it this way. They try to take advantage of you, mainly because they are preying on your emotions. And so, of course, you need your loved one to be laid out in this 50-gauge casket that it will take 30 years before it corrodes and goes to the dust. 30 years. The person's already gone. 30 years. And you spend $20,000 to go in the ground for 30 years before it corrupts. But they take advantage of us. But we have to get to the place to where we realize that this is just temporal. What we have here is temporal. Now, let me make this plain. We need a job. We need a home. In most cases, depending on what city you live in, and if you're in this metroplex, you need a car. You need food. Therefore, you need a job. You need to be able to get up and go to work. And see, back in the day when this beggar was there, they didn't have all the laws that we have now for people with disabilities. So people with disabilities have a better option to get a job. The only job he had was being laid at the gate to beg for money. And so that's what he thought his need was. You got a dime? You got a quarter? You got a dollar? Just trying to get something to see through. So when he seen Peter and John, he did what he normally did. He asked of alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." Now at the beginning, I had made the comment that we as believers need to live in a realm of expecting to receive. Who do we receive from? Our Father. So we need to set our affections on things above. We need to look to the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to look to the hills from which cometh our help. And as Peter told him, look on us, we need to be looking on Jesus. We need to be going to Jesus. And so Peter told him to look on us. There was no question as to the fact that this man was crippled. There was no question that he was a beggar. There was no question that he needed help. And Peter told him to look on us. And the man gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Because of the fact that Peter had acknowledged him, shown him some attention, the man felt, oh, he's getting ready to do something for me. He's getting ready to give me some money. God has shown his attention towards man. What manner of love hath the Father for us that we should be called the sons of God? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. I think you can just flip those pages over and over, both Old and New Testament, And you can find where God's attention has been towards man. Genesis 3:15, I believe it is. From the very beginning, when man fell in the garden, God's attention was towards man. God's attention was to give man a better life. God's intention was to restore man back to the place that he had intended for us to be. That's why he sent his only begotten son. That's why his son was obedient unto death and shed his blood. Because his attention was towards us. And as we recognize that his attention is towards us, then we ought to be standing there expecting to receive. You know, they used to have a cartoon or comic, and you would see the man, and he's sitting at the table. He got a knife and fork. He's expecting something to come. He has nothing in front of him, but he's expecting something to come. Saints, we need to be living like this, expecting something to come. Because if we expect something from God, we're going to get something from God. Now, keep in mind, the beggar was expecting to receive something, and he was expecting to receive some alms. Okay. You know how we get. Oh, God, and we're just, yep, I'm expecting to receive this, God, and this is what I want, and it should be blue and have some really nice rims and third row seating, and my house should be 5,000 square feet, and my suit ought to look like this, and my, you know how we do. I am not the only one. We know how we do. And then we don't get what we've been asking for. And we go to whining. Oh, God, you know I asked for that purple one. And why'd you give me a pink one? Because I really wanted a purple one. Because in our mind, we think we know best. Come on now. We don't know best. If we knew best, we would do better. We can't do better in ourselves. We can only do better through what Jesus did at the cross, the sacrifice that he paid. That's the only way that we can do better. But you know, when we are looking towards our Father, thank God that some of us do expect things, although, like I said, may not be the right thing. But sadly enough, the church as a whole does not live expecting anything from God. And because of that, that allows Satan to come in and run rampant. Because I believe it's Proverbs 28:19, I believe it is, says, without a vision, the people perish. So if Satan can get us not expecting anything, not looking towards the Father, we have no vision. Therefore, we will perish. But this beggar, he had looked on them, expecting to receive something. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We all want the silver and gold. But what we need is in the name of Jesus. That's what we need. That's what's going to get us over the humps. You know, yes, the silver and gold will provide for us and buy for us, and, you know, we're able to use it, but it won't go into eternity with us. And God forbid you try and get buried with it. Somebody going to dig you up and take it if the funeral home even allows it to go down with you. So it's not the silver and gold that we need. But it's in the name of Jesus that we need. And so basically what Peter was telling him is, I can't give you what I don't have. I don't have silver and gold. I can only give you what I have. And all the time, he was giving him something that was far more greater than the silver and gold that he was asking. All the time, we have been provided with something far more greater than anything that we have been asking. And as Peter told him, silver and gold have I none, says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He helped him up, and as he helped him up, his feet just started walking. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And right here, he did something that he had never been able to do before in his life. Not just the walking, not just the leaping, not just the praising. He was able to go into the temple. I don't know about you, but I need to go into that secret place. I need to be able to go and spend some time with God. I need to be able to go and have a solitude, a place of safety, of rest. And this is what this man was provided with, being able for the first time to go into the temple. And when he went into the temple, this is just me, I can just imagine them folks. Because what they saw, they didn't see a beggar anymore. They seen the one who was a beggar. They didn't see a lame man anymore. They saw the one who had been lame. But now they saw somebody who was up shouting, praising God, because he had received something that was needed. You know, part of our salvation includes the expectation of an inheritance and a fellowship with God. But if we're not expecting to receive, we're not going to get that. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 10 says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. See, in the natural, we can't grasp the greatness of what lies before us. So we have to expect to receive the revelation that God has for us at that time. Now, that's not saying he's going to unfold all of his word and we get to go, oh, so this is what it's all about. No. But in his timing, he reveals things to us. And we need to be expecting things to be revealed to us. 1 Peter 1 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We should expect, as being sons of God, children of God, people of God, that the God that we worship, he has begotten us again. Meaning, we are not able to save ourselves, but it's because of his grace and mercy we are saved. It's because of his grace and mercy we're able to obtain salvation. He has brought us into a living hope, a quality of salvation, so that we don't have to despair today or tomorrow. And all of this is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, everything that we receive, it goes back to the cross. It goes back to that shed blood. It goes back to that only begotten Son and what he did for us. And this is our inheritance. And because we have that inheritance, then we should expect to receive these things. And if we want God to do something in our life, then we must expect for it to happen. If we're not expecting, even if he moved, we wouldn't know, because it was right over our head. Titus 1 and 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So we need to be looking forward into eternity, expecting to receive certain things in eternity. And God has given us a promissory note. And that promissory note bounces off the fact that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God. And if we are expecting to receive the gift of God, that gift is eternal life. And it's all through what Jesus did on the cross. As a believer who is expecting to receive, because I have found there is a difference. There's a believer going on to heaven, but then there's a believer expecting to receive. And when we expect to receive, we know that we get to live in a place that he's gone to prepare for us. John 14, 2 says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. We also can expect to receive to get to be like him. 1 John 3 and 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We can expect to know that we are called by God, chosen by him for fellowship with him in this life and for all eternity. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. God is faithful. God is faithful. By whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have an expectation of an inheritance. And that inheritance is kept in heaven for us. And the time is going to come where we can receive that inheritance. Ephesians 3 and 20 tells us that now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We have a lot to expect. We have a lot to expect to receive. It's just a matter of whether or not we are going to do that. You know, at some point, this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Revelation 21 tells us, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain. Former things are passed away. And he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for the words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Give unto him who is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We should live in a realm of expecting that we are actually going to go live with God, that God is going to wipe away all of our tears, that no more will death have a sting, no more will grave have a victory, no more will there be mourning, no more will there be crying, and all of our sin debt has been paid. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, as we go through this life's journey, there are so many things that we will encounter. Some are good, and some are not so good. But I just ask that you keep us safe during this journey. Keep us safe, Lord, and help us to have a mind to where that we expect to receive something from you. Lord, help us see you in everything that we do. Help us to live our daily lives in a realm of expectation, seeing the awesomeness, your grace, your mercy in each and every one of our lives. Father, continue to keep your hand upon us.
Thank you, Lord. As you continue to keep your hand upon us and guide us, lead us, and give us your wisdom in everything that we need your wisdom in, every direction, Lord God, that we give to you that we need your guidance in, Father. We ask, Father, that you will continue to help us, help our spirits stay sensitive to you, expecting from you, Father, because, Lord God, we want to, Father, continue to wait for our eternal hope and glory where we live with you eternally, forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful word. We thank Sister Lincoln for the word of God this morning. If you haven't had a chance to give today, please do so. We want to thank you all for coming out this morning and joining us in our 9 o'clock service. And we also thank you for those that joined us by webcast. We love you. Have a wonderful morning. And if you are looking to return back to the 11 o'clock service, we'll see you here. Be dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen.